In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. The community had become strong in Jerusalem. But that fateful day when Saul led the persecution against Stephen, killing Stephen there outside the walls of Jerusalem, a great persecution had begun. The community of Jesus started to be pummeled with resistance from the authorities. Saul was leading this charge, trying to destroy the community of Jesus. But as we saw last week, all of Saul's efforts to destroy and persecute the community only made it spread and grow. The gospel started to go into the most unlikely places, up towards Samaria, into the Samaritan hometowns, where there these hated half-breeds began to grow and to feel the gospel of Jesus as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Philip had gone south on the road towards Africa, and the gospel was spreading to people who were unlike the Israelites. Saul's efforts to persecute and destroy the church only made it grow. But Saul, as we find out today, does not stop. He sees the gospel spread and grow, and so he spreads his efforts to persecute. So he's heading up north, as our story picks up today, up to Syria, up to the great city of Damascus, in order to grab the Christians and imprison them who are in Syria and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial and execution. And so Saul is going to follow the spread of this gospel, feeling that he, if he can just persecute it enough, can extinguish it completely. And so as Saul is heading north on the road to Damascus from Jerusalem, it happens. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a bright light comes upon Saul and floors him. And there, as he is under the bright gaze of this light, he hears a voice. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul responds, Who are you? Who am I persecuting?" The voice responds, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Get up, Paul. Go into the city and listen. Do everything that you are told to do." Saul opens his eyes, and with eyes wide open, he can see nothing. Blind. He gets led by his men into the city, and there for 3 days he undergoes a death. As 3 days Jesus was in the tomb, so Saul is blind, eats nothing, drinks nothing. Saul is dying. Meanwhile, Ananias, a disciple who lives in Damascus, is approached by the Lord in a vision. And the Lord says to Ananias, "Go. Go to this house on this particular street, and there you will find a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying there. I want you to forgive him, baptize him, welcome him into the community, pour the Holy Spirit upon him." Ananias, horrified, says, "Lord, do you possibly not know who this Saul is? We know this man. Everyone knows this man. He is the one from Jerusalem who has started the persecution, the killings, the imprisonment against your people. This is the one who killed Stephen. This is the one who has been coming to our town in order to take people who are Christians to prison back in Jerusalem so that they may be killed. Are you serious? You want me to go to this Saul, forgive him, baptize him, welcome him into our community, and give him the Holy Spirit?" "Yes," the Lord says. "I've chosen this Saul. I've grabbed him. He's mine. He's my instrument. I'm going to use him to spread the gospel, to spread my name to the nations, to the rulers and kings of the world, and to my own people of Israel. And don't worry, He'll learn how much he has to suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias goes. He goes to this house on this particular street, and there he finds Saul, blind as a bat, not having eaten or drunk anything. And there Ananias lays his hands on Saul. The act that we heard last week was the symbolic act of welcoming someone into the family and community of Jesus. He grabs Saul, embraces him, lays his hands on him, gives him the Holy Spirit, forgives him, baptizes him, and welcomes him into a new world. He raises Saul, in a sense, from the dead. Saul had died that day on the road to Damascus, and Ananias embraces him into the community of Jesus, into new life, into a whole new world. And Saul then is taught by them in Damascus, by the disciples, all about this Jesus, all about the message of this Messiah who is changing the world, this new family of Saul. Saul, after learning for some time in Damascus, then filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, begins to preach. And he preaches in Damascus. And he starts to get under the skin of the people. And going around the city preaching this Messiah, the people of Damascus want Saul dead. And so very quickly, Saul begins to suffer and experience the persecution that he himself had been giving to the Christians. And so the Christians there in Damascus band together and they figure out a way to get Saul out of town so that he won't be killed. So they take him one night because all the gates of the city were guarded looking for Saul. They take him to a window in one of the tall walls and they let Saul out of a basket in the middle of the night. And Saul escapes south to Jerusalem. So Saul then arrives in Jerusalem, the city where it had all begun. And Saul goes back there preaching the name of Jesus. And the Christians are horrified. Whoa, this is the Saul who killed Stephen, who was killing our people, imprisoning us. A man named Barnabas stands up, a man we may remember from Acts 4, who had laid everything he had, sold his family's property, and put it at the feet of the disciples. This Barnabas stands up and says, I vouch for this man. He has the Holy Spirit. You can see it. He's preaching the gospel, living the message. He's part of our community now. I don't care if he was our greatest enemy. He is one of us. So Barnabas talks the Christians into accepting Saul in Jerusalem. And Saul begins the fire of his preaching there. And again, the same thing happens. Saul goes around preaching the gospel of Jesus, and almost immediately, the people of Jerusalem want Saul dead. And so the disciples again help Saul escape, and they take him north to his hometown of Tarsus. And there he resides for a while. And we're told that peace came upon the community of Jesus. For their greatest enemy, Saul, has now become one of them. God did not destroy his enemy. He converted him to his side to become one of his greatest enemies. Allies. Why are you persecuting me? I believe that singular line informs Saul, who were later we know as Paul, who writes 13 letters in the New Testament, informs the heart of Saul or Paul's understanding of the gospel message that he preached. Why are you persecuting me? The great breakthrough that I believe Saul had that day was the recognition that this Jesus, that he thought was dead and gone, that these Christians had made up a story about him coming from the dead, Saul saw that Jesus risen from the dead that day on the road to Damascus, and Saul realized something even more than that, that this Jesus was actually present in his community. Jesus was not just one man. He had poured out his very spirit, his very life breath, and was filling his people. Jesus was his community. This is the breakthrough for Saul or Paul, recognizing that this Jesus is the Messiah, and he will later put it in theological terms, saying, you are the body of Christ. You are Jesus' hands and feet. When Jesus' followers are persecuted, you persecute Jesus. What you do for Jesus' followers, you do for Jesus. Jesus is his community. Jesus is present, living and alive in the bodies of the people who listen to him and walk in his way. This blew Saul's world. This Jesus was so much more powerful and present than any one man could possibly be. He was a whole community. And like Saul, do we ever think, completely convinced and certain, that we are on God's side? That's what Saul thought that day. That's what Saul thought as he led the stoning of Stephen. That's what Saul thought as he was throwing these Christians into prison. Saul was convinced, certain, he was on God's side. He couldn't have been more certain. Is it possible that we ourselves, at other stages in our life, maybe this stage today, that we're convinced we're on God's side, but maybe God has some waking up to do still in our lives? Saul was convinced he was doing God's work. He was God's great enemy. Saul thought he was alive. Saul had eyes wide open. He thought he could see, but he was blind. He was a dead man. And the Lord came to him and converted him. Conversion. Painful. God grabs Saul, rips him out of his old world. Change that no one likes. Total upheaval of his world. Everything that Saul thought was up becomes down. Everything he thought was left becomes right. Everything he thought was good becomes evil. Saul's whole world is spinning on its head. He thought he was on God's side. He was God's enemy. Might we be blind as well? Might we be convinced and certain that we are on God's side, but maybe it's us that are against him? Is it possible that we are God's enemies? The Lord steps in to Saul's life and kills it. But it's a beautiful and gracious killing. He puts to death what had no business being there. Because God loves Saul, he kills him. Kills that old Saul. Destroys that old life. Saul, you've got it all wrong. And then after Saul undergoes this painful, excruciating death, this change that he didn't want, he gets brought back to life as he's welcomed, embraced, hugged into the community of Jesus. Find new life. You thought you could see, you couldn't, but here's true sight through Jesus. Here's the real Holy Spirit. Here's a family, a community that's going to love you and take care of you and walk with you. You're baptized. You're forgiven. Everything that happened in the past, washed away. Let it go. Start anew. You are born again, Saul. Embrace it. Don't cling to the old. Embrace the new. New life for you. So as we encounter Saul's story again this day, may we be challenged to reflect our lives. Reflect, wondering if we are open still to the work of God's conversion in our lives. Or maybe we've convinced ourselves and we're so certain we're right with God. We're good. I'm on God's side. I couldn't possibly be against him. I know. People told me I'm on God's side. But maybe, as Luther said, we need to embrace repentance every day, conversion every day. It can happen in a sudden moment like Saul, but usually it's a lifelong process of being converted. Are we open to God still working his death, but his life within us? Or have we shut God out saying, God, no, I know I'm on the good side. I'm certain of it. But maybe we're like Saul, certain, full of good intentions, thinking we're on God's side. And he's saying, I still need to grab you. I still need to kill some parts in your life. Put those to death so that you can embrace and experience real life, real living. Be baptized, be forgiven, be embraced and welcomed into the new community where there's life. God works death in our lives because he loves us. He disciplines us because he loves us. Embrace that discipline. Embrace the death that God works in your life so that he can do what he wants with your life. It was no longer Saul's dreams after that. He was God's instrument. May we be grabbed by God, used for his glory, instruments for whatever he desires, and that we would find the joy, the beauty, the good, the true community, the true life, the true love, the true forgiveness that only resides in the community and family of Jesus. May we be open to God's work. Amen.